We are up to Perek Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Ches. Perek Yud Ches. Yud Ches. Chai. Perek Yud Gimel, like in Bar Mitzvah, Pasuk Yud Ches. Emor Lamelech V'Lagvira Hashpilu Shevu. This is a new theme. Yirmiyah is instructed by Hashem to give over a message to the king and the queen. Okay, the Melech, I'm sorry, it's not on. Now I'm sorry, now it's on. I didn't push the button all the way. Now it's on. Okay, I'm sorry. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Ches. Chai. Emor Lamelech V'Lagvira Hashpilu Shevu. Give over the following message to the king and the Gevira. Who is the Gevira? So we'll see in a few moments, there are many interpretations. Either it means the queen. Who is the king over here, by the way? That's also subject to much discussion. Either it refers to the last king, the king of Tzidkiyahu, the king that was in power at the time of the Churban, or maybe it refers to Yehoyachin. Yehoyachin was the king that took over after Yehoyakim died. Yehoyakim died. He was a son, Yehoyachin, and Yehoyachin went into exile 11 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. With Yehoyachin went the Chorosh VeHamasker, which means the carpenters and all of the skilled laborers, which Chazal interpret to mean the Talmidei Chachamim, all of the Askanim, which is a very critical event in Jewish history, because if not for this event that happened 11 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, who knows if we would have survived, if there would be a Klal Yisrael today. It's only because that they went into Golus in advance. An advanced team was sent ahead to Bavel. For 11 years, they had an opportunity to establish Torah institutions, to set up yeshivas, pizza stores, and Jewish entertainment, to make sure that when the exiles after the Churban Beis HaMikdash came down, they would have an environment in which they could survive. It was a very critical chesed that Hashem did for Klal Yisrael to give them this opportunity to send down to Yehoyachin to go down with the Chorosh 10,000 people, a Chorosh v'Hamasker, to prepare Klal Yisrael for the Golus. And interesting, why did they get this reward? So it's explicit in the Kinois. It's because they eulogize for Yoshiyahu with the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, which is Eicha. The fourth parak in Eicha is a eulogy that Yirmiyah composed in honor of Yoshio. Chazal say that Yoshio died 22 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Yoshio was one of the greatest kings that ever existed. He turned around Klal Yisrael, taking over from Menashe and Amon, and from their grandfather Ochaz. He took over a Malchus that was completely ignorant of Yiddishkeit. Menashe and Amon succeeded in wiping out any zecher of Yiddishkeit from Klal Yisrael, to the point where they did not even know what a Sefer Torah looked like. Forget about what it said in it, but they had no clue of what was written in the Sefer Torah. Yoshio at that point was eight years old, or some say he was 16 years old, and they discovered the Sefer Torah. He was inspired, and he started the greatest Baal Teshuva movement in the history of Klal Yisrael. He completely turned over Klal Yisrael to a degree where people who were true Yirei, they were Yirei Mushleimim, but not 100%. The damage of Menashe and Amon was still there. It was still, the people have not yet developed to a degree where they were ready for Mashiach to come, where they were able to overturn the damage of Menashe and Amon, and for that matter, Ochaz, which came even two generations before. And therefore, when Yoshiyahu died, when he was killed by Paro Necho, it was meant to be min hashamayim that the Churban, the Beis HaMikdash, be destroyed at that moment in time. That was the divine plan. If that would have happened with Yoshiyahu's death, the Churban Beis HaMikdash would have happened and the people would have gone into exile. It's very questionable if there would be anyone left 70 years later to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. the degree of assimilation already was off the charts 22 years later when it happened. It could very well be that there would not have been any survivors. They would have gone into Galus. The number of people that were killed, I don't know the details, but the Churban, the numbers of people that were killed were enormous, and everyone else was sent to Rome, was sent to Galus. To Bavel, to Bais Sheri, what am I saying? Was sent to Bavel, and it can very well be that they would have just assimilated, would have disappeared from the world. It's only because after Yoshiyahu died, Klal Yisrael were properly maspit, they eulogized, they appreciated the loss of the Tzaddik, Tzaddik Hashem, who this person was. Hashem delayed the Churban for 22 years, corresponding to the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, which were used by Yirmiyahu to eulogize Yoshiyahu. And just before we go further, what is the significance of the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis? What does it mean of the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis? And the answer is, when Yoshiyahu died, you can probably say about him many things. I'm sure Yoshiyahu, he built bridges, and he lowered taxes, and he was a great diplomat. There are probably many, many things that could have been said about Yoshiyahu. The galus of Klal Yisrael was that they eulogized him with the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. Whenever you have the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, it means a Torah perspective. The 22 letters represents Al Aleph Bina. They knew of his accomplishments in the secular world, but they viewed him in the proper light from a Torah hashkafa. They appreciated the godless, his greatness in his Yirah Shemayim and what he accomplished for Klal Yisrael. This was a very great zuchus for Klal Yisrael, and appreciating the Yirah Shemayim and the righteousness and the relationship that Yoshio had with Hashem, and therefore the Churban was delayed for 22 years. This delay was the ultimate bracha for Klal Yisrael, because in those 22 years, Yehoyachin was exiled with 10,000 people, 10,000 important community leaders, including the Talmidei Chachamim, and they prepared, they set up shop in Bavel in times of peace, so that when Klal Yisrael, the exiles, would come, they could be absorbed into Bavel and thrive and live as Jews, Torah, true Jews, until the 70 years were over to come back and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So that's over here, according to what most Mefarshim learned, that the Melech and the Gevir here that we're referring to refers to Yehoyachin. Yehoyachin and his wife. The Gevir is the queen. Yehoyachin and his wife. He's telling them that, listen, watch out now. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and exile you. Humble yourself. Don't put up a fight. This is a bracha for Klal Yisrael that is allowing you to go into exile, and you there in Bavel, under your leadership, you'll be able to establish an environment that will serve to absorb the exiles 11 years from now. Don't fight with him. Humble yourself and accept what's going to happen. Emor lamelech v'lagvira hashpilu, lower yourself. Shevu, another expression which means the same thing, sit down. Ki yorad mar ashoseichem ateres tif'artechem, because it's going to be taken down from your head, the splendor of your glory. Meaning, there's going to be a churban, and you're no longer in control, and you have to humble yourself and do what is for the best of Klal Yisrael. Do not try to fight against the enemy. And indeed, you know that Tzidkiyahu was also commanded to do exactly the same thing. When Nebuchadnezzar came 11 years later to conquer Tzidkiyahu, he was instructed by Yirmiyah and Zephaniah and Huldah, those are the three main Nevi'im that were existed in this time period. Yirmiyah, Zephaniah, and Huldah, they were told, don't fight, surrender. If you surrender, Nebuchadnezzar may very well allow the Beis HaMikdash to remain. It's just that we'll be under his authority, we'll have to pay him taxes and so on and so forth, but surrender. And that was the critical mistake, a critical act of rebellion that Tzidkiyahu did. He refused to surrender. He sent the army to fight against the Nebuchadnezzar, and that resulted in the Churban. Now, it was a foregone conclusion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously controlled his mind that he should he shouldn't. He had a free will, but the Churban had to happen, and then somehow it happened through his act of rebellion. But he was instructed not to rebel. Yechoniah was also given the same instructions. Yechoniah listened, and he rebelled. Now that's all based upon the interpretation. If we learn that the Melech and the Gevira is Yehoyachin and his wife, some say that it refers to Tzidkiyahu. The Melech is Tzidkiyahu and the queen, his wife, and they were instructed also to humble themselves. And here, obviously, they failed. They did not listen to the advice of Yirmiyahu. Other commentators say that the word, if we're really referring to the queen, it should say the Melech and the Malkah, the king and the queen. Or like two children used to say, they play, they would say, I'll be the king and you be the queen. The queen. The king and the queen. Okay, no such word, the queen. But children know in their mind, they like to make up words. It's very cute. It's a very cute way of thinking. I always think about that. Child's mind is very interesting.
There's a saying, the power behind the throne and Gura's strength. So it sounds like the power behind the throne would be the queen.
The queen, that's true. Watch out for the women. Watch out for the women. Hillary Clinton.
She's a woman?
At least there are no veeps that are women.
Let's just change the definition.
Okay, let's go. So therefore, we have over here, now others say that if it's really the queen, it should say la malka. Therefore, commentators suggest, as we're going to see in a few moments, that the gvir means the mother of the king. And this is especially true with regard to Yehoyachin, because he was very young. When Yehoyakim died, his father died, he was a child. So he was just a figurehead. They put him on the throne, they took pictures, and they showed the world, we have a little child here, a child king. The one who called the shots was his mother. So she really had power, the queen of the previous administration, she maintained power, and therefore we're referring to Yehoyachin and his mother. A mother is always the one that has the most nachas. The most nachas. Mother-in-law is always the most surprised. The mother has the most nachas, and likewise the mother has the most tsar. Anytime a mother sees a child in trouble, there's no one that has more tsar than a mother. That's why we always mention that the Kohen Gadol, when he was appointed, who was the one that went around to the Ori Miklat distributing food packages that the people should not pray that her son, that the Kohen Gadol die? It was the Kohen Gadol's mother. Yeah. Why his mother? Why not his mother-in-law? Why doesn't she go to the Ori Miklat and pray? Why not his wife? So the mother was not a kasha. She's one of the people that are praying that her daughter should be released. No, I'm just joking. But why not? Why not the mother-in-law? Why not the wife? Why not the children? The answer is, you see, that the mother is different. The mother, to her, a mother's relationship is definitely different than that of a wife and any other significant other person in their life. Okay, but that's what the commentators say. So he's telling over here to the king and the queen. So we're going to have over here three. The many interpretations of what it means: king and queen, or the king and the mother, the gevira. Lower yourselves, yourself. Shavu, sit down, because it has been removed from your head the splendor of your glory. Let us see the Mesudos David, Pasuk Yud Ches. Emor Hashem Omar El Hanavi. Hashem speaking to Yirmiyah. Emor Li Yehoyachin Ulamalka Ishtoi. The Mitzudos very clearly learns we're talking about Yehoyachin, who took over the Malchus from Yehoyakim, and he ruled for 11 years. Hash and his wife, Hashpilu Shevu, it's in the Loimar, Shevu B'mokim Shafal, sit down in the low place. Mutol Aritz on the ground, V'alteshu Al Kisaos, in other words, humble yourself, act as you are mourners. Ki Yorad Mar. Mar Asho Seichem Heim Ori Yehuda Shehi. I'm sorry. Return to Lema Gidulasim, your greatness. The Chazav Perish Ateres Tefartichem, the splendor on your head. Rashi Pasuk Yudches LeMelech LeMalka. Who is Melech LeMalka? Yehoyachin VeImoy. Not like the parish of the Mitzudos. Okay. Next, Yerdu Yorad Mar Asho Seichem. Okay. So Ramchol, what does this word mean?
It's an unpronounceable word. In other words, a high position.
a high position, okay, aliyaschem, your high position, kamosh nemar, like it says, vayetze elov yohayachinchu v'imo v'avadov. How do we know that his mother? Because it says that when the Nebuchadnezzar came to get them, it says that his mother. So therefore, Rashi is saying that you have to assume, if the pasuk explicitly mentions in Malachim the mother of Yehoyachin, who was the wife, the queen of Yehoyachin, obviously she maintained a very significant degree of power. She was a decision maker in Klal Yisrael, and therefore when it says here Givir, it's fair to say that it's referring to the mother. Kulam Hochim Agol, they all went into exile. Okay, again, this is a very big bracha. This bracha is what established Klal Yisrael. I can say the same thing about the people, all of the pioneers. Okay, Dr. Fuchter, please. It's very hard that you talk about the pioneers who came to America before the Holocaust. If not for them, if not for those people who came to America and set up all of the things that are in America, who knows what would have been after the Holocaust, or the Sheiris HaPleito, all the people who came over from the survivors, from the TP camps, who knows if there would have been any hope for them. If not for these people, the credit that they get, the Mesiras Nefesh they had to establish Yiddishkeit in America, saved a generation. And this is what this instruction is critical. It's an critical instruction that Yirmi is telling Yehoyachin and his wife and his mother. Hashpilu Shevu, humble yourself. You're going off on a mission. Nebuchadnezzar is coming to get you. Do not resist. If you resist, he's going to wipe you out. And then there will be no hope for Klal Yisrael. If you humble yourself, you go into exile, you'll set up shop, it will be to your credit the survival of Klal Yisrael. Pasuk, let's see the Radak, about Radak and Pasuk Yudches. Pasuk Yudches says, Emar la melech v'la gvira, say to the king and the gvira, Zeh hatzivu ein elodem yuchad, this command is not, according to Radak, is not to a specific person. El l'chol mi sheyeh, to anyone that fits the description. Who may be concerned? Anyone who thinks they're a king, anyone who thinks they're a king, so be it. It's they're speaking to you, like the famous Bali Musar. They would give these shmuzim, and some of the Talmidim would think he was talking directly to me, and they would ask the Bal Musar, were you talking to me? If you think I was talking to you, I was talking to you. It was a personal message. So here, Reach, okay, I'm not exactly sure the analogy of these, what he's saying, but we'll run through it quickly. Kol Oimer Korah, there's a voice that says forth, Korah, read, Imru Linim Harei Lev, say to the arrogant. It means to those people who are meant to hear this message. The person knows who is, the person who is meant to be spoken to knows that the message may be said publicly. But the person who wants to hears that message. V'hadoimim lohem, and something similar, Hamelch v'agivirahim yehoyochin v'imoy, the Radak, is following the opinion of Rashi. The Gvir is the mother. Shehem Galu Rishanim im Hagiborim v'Hacharash v'Hamasker. They went into exile first with the Giborim, the mighty ones, and the craftsmen, and the Masker. What's the translation of the Masker? Engineers, Masker. It means skilled laborers, skilled labor. Craftsmen. That's the Charash. Charash are the carpenters, the carpenters and the craftsmen. Hashpilu Shevu. Humble yourself. Ki ilu amar shevu bas shefel, sit in a low area. Ki hishpilu poel omeid. The word is a command. Poel omeid is a command. Kamo ki hishpilu v'toymer geva. Humble yourself. And v'soymer, and say geva. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that means over there. Oh yeah, poel yotze, or it's not a command, but rather it's a. A poel yotze, which means perusho hashpilu kis achem, lower your chairs, v'shevu al akarka, it means this is what should be done. I'm not commanding you directly, I'm telling you what the result should be. Poel yotze means this is what should come forth from my words. I'm not telling you to do it, but when the day is over, make sure it is done. It has the same meaning over here. Hashpilu, either you lower yourself, or you should be lowered. You should be lowered, Shevu, you should be lowered by lowering your chair and sitting down on it. Why? Ki yorad mar ashoseichem ateris tefartichem. The peles, this is the same, peles means it's the same usage of the word mimalchoseichem. It's equivalent in word usage to your kingdom. The ateres tif'artichem is an expression which means your malchus. Your malchus has come to an end. You are going into exile. Ha'echad me'rosham b'pelas, ha'echad me'rosham b'pelas mamlocha. The word rosham is equivalent to the word mamlocha. Echad pelas, you take those two words together, echad pelas, it's the same exact usage as a kingdom. How old was he at that time? He was very young. I don't know the answer. I'm sure it's, we can figure it out. It's probably, there's some chart in the back of the sefer which probably tell you exactly, but I didn't look it up. I don't know. He was probably, they say he was very young. Because when Yehoyakim died, he was a child. And that's why the mother, that's why in Malachim it says his mother came out, because the mother was really calling the shots. It's an expression which refers to authority. The Omar, Yirmiyah is telling them, Yorad. He says, descend. The Omar, Mar Ashoseichem, Loshen Rabbim, Ritzon Elaimar, Shum Rishus, Lo Nishalochem, Ela HaKol Yoreh. You're nothing. You're going to be a nothing. You're going to lose the Malchus. You're going to lose all authority. You're going to be a common man, a commoner. Ki Af, Begolusam, Lo Nagabham, Minim Melochim. When they went into Golus, they did not have any respect for them. Sharei Nostu, Yoyochim, Ebe Sakela, Kechad Om. He was put in prison. In ancient times, it was the custom, there was dignity, that when you capture a king, so you take him to your country, but he lives, you know, you give him a house, you have respect. Why do you have respect for him? Because you want, they should have respect for you when you go into Golus. It's musical chairs.
It's professional courtesy.
Exactly. It's musical chairs. If I'm not going to give respect to the people who come to the, you know, like embassy, people who come, there's this thing, you know, you have in every country has embassies for all different, and in those embassies you can do whatever you want.
Diplomatic
immunity. And why? Because if we're not going to give you diplomatic immunity, then we're not going to have diplomatic immunity in our countries. So here, shocking, was an exception. They took Yehoyachin, they came, they gave him no respect, no diplomatic immunity, because I guess they felt we conquered Yerushalayim. We don't need them. We don't need them, so we'll treat you like garbage.
Did that routinely to whoever?
Not to everyone. Is it truly did to everyone?
Yes.
Maybe you're right. I don't know.
Maybe more harshly to
Klal Yisrael, to Yoyachin.
Yeah.
But he seems to make a point in saying, if the Radak is making this point, being back in the past, he could very well seem to say that there was more abuse to Yoyachin than to other kings. Sure, Nostu Yoyachin, they put him in a prison, like one of the people, he's like a common criminal. Ateres tifartechem kafalim b'milashenais poetic repetition of Yama Yorod Lashon Zohar. It's Lashon Zohar, the Dalet at the end. Umar Ashoisechem Ateres Lashon Nikeva. How could that be? How could that be? I always say, if the first people who wrote Tanakh would take a test, would take a course in Yeshiva Flapush, they would get an F. They would get an F for writing, for the grammar, because you have, more often than not, you have exceptions. Zohar, Lashon Nekeva, and here again he points out that there's a contradiction expression, and the answer is, it's all he teaches the message, it means, take off the davar, take off the object from upon your head. He's not really v'chein yanar yeosem molocha. I don't know what these things mean. They're examples where you start at sukim where you see a contradiction in form. You have part is zocha, part is nekeva. Asher kamo lo niyasa, that zochar and kamo is zochar, niyasa is nekeva. V'yadem lo uvezen nucha l'sakin gam loshen ribui avol inyan toiv hu masher kosav nubo. I'm not sure what that means, but he basically means, do not be bothered by the grammar. It has to be interpreted by those who understand.
If Marshall Sehem and Ateres Divartham are included in the same
yeah.
clause, then it shouldn't it have been plural.
Yorad.
Yordu.
Yordu, okay.
That's the way we're reading it. Because otherwise, Yorad, Marshall Sehem.
Yorat hadovar asher al rasho seichem. Okay, I'm not sure. We'll leave it with this. Next time around, Bli Neder, we'll get the grammar straight. We'll bring in a specialist. Okay, let's go now to pasuk yutes. Orei HaNegev, this is a general pasuk, Orei HaNegev, Suguru, the Ein Poseach, the cities of the south are locked up and there's no one to open the door. In other words, there's going to be complete obliteration, complete, the Chorbin is going to be complete. Hoglas Yehuda, Yehuda has gone into exile, Kula entirely, Hoglas Shilaimim. Okay, this is an expression, a very interesting expression. Hoglash Shlaimim means, we'll see what it means, one of three things. Either it means a complete exile. The word Shlaimim means Shalem, complete. And when we put that word next to the word Hoglos, the combination means an exile that is complete. A second interpretation is a peaceful exile. It's part of the instruction Hashem is giving to Yehoyachin, don't fight. Do not put up a fight. When he takes you into exile, go peacefully. A third interpretation is Shloimim means retribution. It's going to be a galus where the Jewish people will finally get what they deserve for their sins. So Sach HaKol, an expression, Hoglos Shloimim, three interpretations. In a complete exile, there are no survivors. Number two, a peaceful exile. Or, meaning, no, don't put up a fight, go easily, or an exile and where you'll get what you deserve. Let's see the commentators. Pasuk Yutes and the Mitzvah. Shlomim
indicate that last thing?
That's what Rashi, I think it's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi, we'll see Rashi in a moment. It means Shlomim is that's what he says. It means Tashlom Avoinam. The payment of your sins, Tashlom. Let's see the Mitzvah of Pasuk Yutes. Arei HaNegev. Heim Arei HaYehuda. So you have to remember that at this point in time, Yisrael closed up shop. The Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim was long over. That already finished 100 years ago. Sancheirif, he's the one that did that. The Klal Yisrael is operating on two Shvatim are operational. That's all that's left. Yehuda and Binyamin. And they only occupied a very, very small part of the land. Occupied Yerushalayim and some suburbs. So here, the Mitzudos is obviously bothered. What are these cities you're referring to here called the cities, the Ori HaNegev? The Negev, that's not the territory of Yehuda and Binyamin in the south. So he says, no, there were some little cities that were still, and they were still under the authority of Yehuda and Binyamin. Ochem Ori Yehuda, Shema Bidar Meretz Yisrael. In Hanami, there were some cities that were there out there as well. Sugaru, they are locked up. The Ein Pasech, Ritzon Eloimar. This is an expression that it's a ghost town. They're ghost towns. Don't come in. Hareheim, Harevim, Ulachain, Sugu, they're locked up. They ain't me Pasech, there's no one that has the key. Kihoil, ain't Shamada, me if Tach Shah Yair. If no one's there, who's going to give you the key to open up the door? The city's destroyed.
The city is locked up.
Yeah.
Does that mean that the inhabitants are inside?
No, that's not exactly what it's
called. If it's conquered, then it's wide open.
It means it's abandoned. It's abandoned. Like you go to these abandoned shuls, so you want to go and see what's doing inside, you need someone to get give you the key.
It's closed up.
Because it wasn't destroyed, no one came and actually ran it over. No one came and knocked it down.
They're out of business.
So it's like a ghost town. It's a churva. It's a ruin. It's still standing. The door is locked. Like you hear, there'll be some people. They go on tours to these foreign countries, and they want to go into the cemetery. So you need the key. So you need the key to the cemetery. So where can I get the key? Well, there's no one. There are no Jews left. Sorry, there's no one left. You got to go find it. So that's what it means. It's a ghost town. You want to get in, you got to go find a person to give you the key, because if the people were living there, there was a city that was a healthy city, you can get the key immediately. There's someone to give you the key. Just an expression. Hoglas Yehuda Kula. Kol Yehuda Gola. The entire Yehuda went to exile. Hoglas Shleimim. What does this expression mean? We send a line out. Golo Shleima. A complete exile. Kikishagola Yechonya Nishar, because this pasuk is referring to the second wave. When Yechonya went into exile 11 years before the Churban for Tzidkiyahu, Nishar Rabbi Mehasadim V'chol Am Aretz. The vast majority of the Jewish people remained in Eretz Yisrael. There must have been millions of people. According to Chazal, there were millions, many millions. I don't know the exact numbers, but they're different. Mamori Chazal, some of them are are exaggerations of the numbers of people that were living in Eretz Yisrael at this point in time. And only about 10,000 people went into exile. So those 10,000 people served as a very important role for these millions of people that were left in Yerushalayim. V'chol am haaretz, v'lechein amar ata, b'golos tzidkiyah, yegolos shleimah. Yechonya was not a golos shleimah. It was a very small golos, a partial golos. Just 10,000 people. But the next golos that's coming at the end is going to be shleimah, ki yiglu kulam, they will all go into exile. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Yites, Oya Negev Sogaru, Lifnei Haboin Aleim and Atzafan. So he learns a little bit different, that they're going to lock up the gates. Now the reason why we're calling it Negev, it appears from the Rashi, is that Yerushalayim is going to be called the Negev. Why would you call Yerushalayim the Negev? That's certainly not the way you would call it today. You go on a tour to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to the Negev. No one's going to accuse you of going to Yerushalayim, to the Kaisel, if you go sign up for a tour to go to the Negev.
It means south.
It means the south. Yerushalayim is not...
In other words, coming from Tzafon.
Oh, so it's relative to Tzafon. Why is Tzafon here significant? Mitzafon tiposach hara'ah. Nebuchadnezzar is coming from the north. Nebuchadnezzar is the beginning of the Sefer from the north, so therefore the only survivors, it's relative, the only survivors left in the land now are the people that live in Yerushalayim, the Ar Yehuda, and they are in the south relative to the north of Nebuchadnezzar that's coming to descend. That is how Rashi learns. Not like the Mesudos. Ar Yenegev Lefnei Haboin Alehen Min HaTzafoin. Ar Yehuda Yisrael, the Seguros, they are locked up. They're all locked up. That's what you're saying. He's saying your approach is that they're full of people. It's just the gates are locked because of the terror of what's coming. Now the last two words are Hogla Shloimim Lo Yilochem Yehoyachin. This is a command. Don't fight. It's going to be a peaceful departure when Yehoyachin leaves. Ki l'shalom yatza v'yigolehu, he's going to leave in peace. He's going to surrender, pick up, raise the white flag. I'll go with you. Don't cause anyone harm. L'shoin acher, an alternative interpretation. Shloimim, it means, Remchol, what's that French word mean?
Ger, non. Well, ger means war, you know that. He calls it reprisal.
Reprisal or retribution. Kiloimar tashlum avoinam. It means retribution, reprisal for their sins. V'chentergim yonason iskabolu. They will now receive tush lemas choyvehon.
Yeah, they'll receive the repayment.
Repayment for their evil deeds. So we have those three interpretations. Let's see the Radak. Pasuk Yites Oreh Negev. Targum Yerushon Kirvei Droima, the southern cities. The Al Ori Yehuda Oimer, and we're referring over here to the Ori Yehuda. Ki Chelik Yehuda Choyi Bedarim Eretz Yisrael Kamo Shekasov, like it's written somewhere in this pasuk, I guess, other places as well. In other words, the Radak over here is selecting the interpretation of the Mitzudos. There are other cities in the south that are under the jurisdiction of Yehuda. The Zachu B'zeh Lashon B'zeh HaLashon. Why do we refer to them in this expression? Mibnei HaPasuk Abo Achrav SheZachar Tzafon. Now he's mixing in the parish of Rashi, and he's saying Rashi also, because since the Nebuchadnezzar is coming from the north, SheZachar Tzafon Abo HaTzafon Abo Mitzafon Ki HaMachadivim V'HaMegalim Yavo Mitzafon. The destroyers and the exilers are coming from the north. The next words are...
There's a note here. Yeah. The archaeological discoveries in Arad indicate that the Kastim besieged even the southernmost cities of Yehuda, the cities of the Negev.
The Negev. So obviously there are cities in the very, very south. Okay, next words are... Sagru, the doors are locked. The Ein Pasech, Chorvu, it's an expression, they are destroyed. There's no one to open and close the doors. Uva Amroi Soiger, and this that it says the expression of Soiger, with Soinoi Loimar, Shleikones Adam Sham, a person does not enter over there. V'chein Amar B'zech Lashon B'chor Min Ha'aretz B'Nevuas Yishaya Sugar Kol Bayis Mibo. This expression is common throughout Nevi'im. It means locked up, Chorben. Hoglas Yehuda Kula V'Avav Yishlo Hoglas Kula. Al-Tz'ad Tzidkiyo, he's questioning, but it's not so. If we are focusing here specifically on the goals of Yehoyachin, so it's not complete, it's only partial. Kev and Shagolam Malkam, Fu Yehoyachin, Hare Zeh Hoyakilu Goso Kula, Kisoifo Liglois Bikarov, if the king goes into exile, that basically means it's the beginning of the end. So therefore, we can refer it already to the entire nation. Vagidoilim, Shabachem Golu, Im Yehoyachin, because the Gedolim, the greatest people in Klal Yisrael, they went first into exile 11 years in advance. And last words, Hogla Shloimim, Kofal Inyin B'milo Shonas, poetic repetition, Ki Shloimim Kamo Kulam, it means complete, it means Kulah. But it's in Eloima Shloimim, that's what the Mitzudo said. Kinchein Musar Shloimeinu Olav, it is a complete rebuke. The complete rebuke is upon us. So there the word Shulaimenu is using the same expression, means complete. Kumay Musar Kulanu, all of us are been chastised. The Yonasan Tirgem Ribu Mila Shloimim, the Targum explains, like what we quoted before, is it means retribution, punishment for sin, v'cholal bo shnein yonim, golu shleima, they have gone into exile completely. And then he repeats himself, the Targum, the second interpretation, Iskablu tush lemas ov de choin. The first time it says Hoglas Yudu Kula, which means a complete exile, and then, like we explained, Rashi says Shlemi means they receive punishment for their evil deeds. Hoglas, the word Hoglas is not the normal type of word you expect to find in the Hebrew dictionary, and therefore he says Mishpata, the nature of this word is Hoglasa. Make believe there is a hey at the end, and change the vowels, and then you'll be more comfortable putting this in the modern the Ibn. What's the, there's a dictionary? What?
Think of the Megillah, the pasuk that's read like Eichon.
Yeah. What's the pasuk here? I'm asking. Asher Hoglusa im Yichonya. Asher Hoglusa. Okay, so that's what it's quoting from. If you had the word Hoglusa, you'd be more comfortable. Come over here, Tzas. Don't question me, because you find this even in Chumash. It says Vehir Tzas Eshab Soiseha. It will have rest. And there as well, the interpretation is Vehir Tzisa. It's as if there is a hey added. You have to be a little bit liberal in your reading of the Hebrew language in the Nevi'im. Okay, now let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chaf. Next command. Su'u einechem uru'u. Lift up your eyes and see. Now notice over here there's si'i and uri'i. So we're changing from the singular to the plural. There's a krivich sif. Why is that so? I don't know. Maybe we'll see more. I don't remember. I'm not sure. But we change it from si'i and uri'i.
It tends to be yachid.
Right, that's what I said. Lashar, exactly. Si'i, uri'i. So we're changing it from the singular, the collective noun. So why then is it necessary to change the kri to the ksiv to a kri to a different? I don't know. I don't know why. But over here, the way it's pronounced is in the plural. Su'u einechem.
What? When he changes to the rabbi, he's now talking.
The Klal Yisrael. But if you would say it in the singular, it's all you could also
to
the nation. It's the same thing. The collective noun, the nation. Why is that a problem? I don't know. I don't know. Su'u, you have a note there. It says something. The radak. The radak. Okay, we'll see the radak in a moment. Okay. I thought I prepared the radak. We'll see. Su'u. I don't recall. Su'u einechem uru'u haboim mitzafon. Those are coming from the north that we mentioned before. That's the Nebuchadnezzar. Ayei ho'eder nitalach. And then again, we're addressing the king. You have failed in your role. You have failed the king. Or the leaders of the nation have failed to guide the flock. Klal Yisrael is called Tzoin, is my sheep. But Eider Nitan Lach, that has been given to you, Tzoin Tif Arteich, the sheep that of your splendor. Let's see the Mitzudos. Pasek Chav Su Einechem Ato HaMelech Yu HaMelech HaGvira Su'u Einechem Uru'u Chel Kasim HaBoim Mitzafon. Now we're talking about the king and the queen, or the king and the queen mother. The queen mother. So that's why we're reading it b'lashon rabim. We're referring to people, and here we're lodging a complaint that you have failed to guide, take care of your sheep. At hamelach v'agvira su einechem uruk chel kakastim haboim mitzafon. Ayei ho'eder, ayei am Yehuda haniton l'chol yos l'chem l'royo melach. Where is your flock? Where are they? They're going into exile. That is what is happening. Let's see Rashi. Rashi look at the enemy that is coming. This is not being said now, because right now they're still living in Yerushalayim. This pasuk is meant to be said, will echo in your mind to be heard after the exile is complete. What happened? How could it be that your flock has been exiled? Where are they? How could it be that they went to Golos? Radak, pasuk you pasuk chaf, suenechem, kasav si'i, ui'i. It's written b'lashon yochid with a yud at the end. Kineged hakinisa. Kineged the collective noun of Klal Yisrael. Kimo tachlis hapasik, like the end of the pasuk. End of the pasuk is the tzon. The end of the pasuk is the tzon tif'artech. Your sheep. Tzon is the collective noun. The word tzon is one is the singular, but it refers to all of the sheep. Tzon tif'artech u'shnei p'sukim abo ma'achrav, and likewise the next two p'sukim, which we're going to come to in the next two p'sukim, also all the complaints, where there we refer to them in the collective noun u'kri. But even though we it's written b'loshen yachid, the collective noun, we read it b'loshen rabim su'u u'ru k'neged harabim ha'protim. Okay, so it's both. It's Klal Yisrael, the Yochid and the Rabbim. I guess there's a Jewish is that you, in every Rabbim, there's always, you have to always focus on the Tsar of the individual. There's the Tsaras HaRabbim and the Tsaras HaYochid, and they're not the same. The Tsaras HaYochid is a different type of Tsar. Every individual has their personal problems, and then there's a problem that the entire Klal experiences, and each one is unique. And over here, I guess maybe that's the significance of the Kivuch Siv, is that you as a melech have a goal, have a role to take care of all the problems. The problems of the klal and the problems of the prat. And both regards, you have failed. You have failed, and the leaders are responsible for the failures of their people. Okay.
I was thinking another angle, that sometimes the shift is something that should be masculine to feminine indicates a weakened state.
So C is feminine, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
C is feminine. I think he actually quotes something like that over here in the art scroll. He actually mentioned something like that. I don't understand what he means. Let's see, he goes further. Let's just go read, maybe he explains. Well, the fi dati, then the Radax, according to my interpretation, kisu ru'u amal l'melech l'gvira, he's speaking b'loshen rabim to the king and the queen, plural, shezachar, ki lohem hoya ha'edah, they are responsible, ki hem haroyim, the leaders are accountable for their people. Like you said, Rabbi Chol, that si'i is singular, but in addition to being singular, it's also feminine. It refers to the collection of the leaders that have gone into exile with Yehoyachin, hachorosh vehamasker, the craftsmen and the carpenters.
He calls them the craftsmen and the sentries.
What's a sentry?
The one who's in charge of the gate, I think.
The gatekeepers?
Yeah.
The people who close the gates, shagam lohem hu ha'eder, they also have responsibility, they also are accountable. Vehem b'chlal harayim, so amar su einechem u'u haboy mitzafon, u'u hakastim haboy mitzafon lehag loisim, look at the enemy that's coming to attack you. So what is he saying over here? He's saying over here that the Lashon, when it's written Lashon Yachid, the reason why this both is because we're addressing two different forms of leaders. The singular si'i uri'i in the feminine form refers to the chorosh vehamasker, which also have a degree of authority. And when it says it in the masculine, the kri, the masculine, su'u uru'u, that's addressing a different form of leadership, the king and the queen or the queen mother. That's what the Radak says. Okay, so basically I'm addressing all of the leaders. All of the leaders, or our other idea we expressed is the klal and the prat. Next words, ayeh ho'eder nitol, where is the flock that has been entrusted to you? Re'i ho'eder shenitan l'cho liyos ro'e aleihem, look after the flock that has been given to you to be in charge of. V'hayut soin tifartecha, ayeh heimato, where are they now? Ki lo tira'oid, because you'll tiremo, you'll no longer pass them, because they all have gone into exile. Next pasuk, matoimri, what are you going to say to me? Hashem says, "Ki yifkoid olayich," when they come to visit you. What are you going to? How are you going to respond to me when the Nebuchadnezzar shows up at your front gate? You have no. You're going to. What are you going to say to me? What are you going to? What at that point in time when the churban is imminent? What are you going to say to me? Hashem then goes on to criticize the king. You have no one to blame but yourself. The at it is you limadit osam. You have encouraged them. You have accustomed them. Alaych upon you. By making them for you alufim l'rosh, making them upon you a chief head. Those two words go together. Halo chavolim yochezuch. Now you're going to suffer the consequences like chavolim means birth pangs, kmo like an eshes leida, a woman who gives birth. Okay, there's a lot going on here in this pasuk. Best to go look at the masters. Let's see what it says here in the Metzudos. Ma taimri, b'matinatzel kasha oyev yashgiach boch lekachas oscha bashavi. What are you going to say to me, Hashem says, when the enemy comes to take you into exile? That you have no one to blame but yourself. Limadit means you have accustomed them. V'yad limadit, ata be'atzmecha hirgalto es habavloyim liyos olecha alufim, liyos roshim olecha. You are the ones who have caused all the problems. Do you know why? Because you gave them the keys, the blueprints to the Beis HaMikdash. You gave them inside information. When? Not today. This goes back to the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu HaMelech invited the father or the grandfather of Nebuchadnezzar to come to the Beis HaMikdash, and he took him into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, according to Chazal, to show him the Aron. Good question. I don't have any answer. I have no clue.
He's not allowed.
Tough question. You're 100% right. Let's see the words. Ata bi'atzmecha hirgalta es habablayim liyos olecha alufim, to be your chiefs, liyos harosh olecha, ki aki al shehere chizkia. Chizkia is the grandfather of Menashe. In between Chizkia and Menashe, we had Chizkiah, then Menashe, Amon, Yoshiyahu, Yehoyakim, Yehoyachin, and Tzidkiyahu. So that's the whole long list. But going back a few generations before Chizkiyahu, the Shluchei Merodach, the messengers of Merodach Biladon, Melech Bavel. He was the first king of Bavel. He was the father or grandfather of Nebuchadnezzar. Some say he was Nebuchadnezzar. S called Beis Nichosa. Now the Beis Nichosa means spices. In Eretz Yisrael, they had a collection of spices that was one of a kind. They came throughout the entire world what do the rebbes have? Rav Meir, you're into this stuff. What are the rebbes? What? Tabak, right? They had the best tabak in the entire world in Eretz Yisrael. Snuff. They had the best tabak in the entire world. So that's what it says in the pasuk, that when the Merodach Biladon came into Eretz Yisrael, he treated him not to the best restaurant, he took him into the Beis Nechos, the perfume house. The perfume house to enjoy the fragrance of the most exotic fragrances that exist in the world. But Chazal tell us that the Beis Nechos is really a code word for the delights of Klal Yisrael, the Aron HaKodesh in the Kodesh HaKodashim. And he invited him into the Kodesh HaKodashim to show what's there. He asked the obvious question that an ish says in the pasuk, "Val yavai b'chol eis el ha-kodesh." You're not allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim. So indeed, it's a big mystery. It is indeed a very big mystery. Yeshaya was critical of it. When this happened, Yeshaya severely criticized Yechizkiyahu for doing this, and he said, because of this, there's going to be a churban. And what's even more shocking is Chizkiyahu's response. Chizkiyahu's response is, okay, as long as it doesn't happen in my lifetime. as long as there's peace in my lifetime, I'm okay with it.
And he was considered a great king, right?
He was one of the greatest. Okay, so there's so much been written and so much to understand exactly what these psukim mean. Obviously, it's not for now, but over here, Rashi here is the Metsudas here is taken from a Medrash. He's not saying this on his own. Yeah. He's taking over here from Medrash and explaining this the pshat in the pasuk. Over here, Hashem is telling us over here to the king that is going to live at the time of the Chorban Tzidkiyahu. Similarly, that's what it means. So speaking to Klal Yisrael as a whole, what are you going to say to me on the day when the Chorban comes, when the Nebuchadnezzar comes? You have no one who to blame but your own kings, because your own kings 100 years ago invited the king of Bavel into the Kodesh HaKodashim. And because of that chait of making light, not appreciating the Kodesh HaKodashim to give grant entry to a king of Bavel, therefore, this is what you want to do. But derech she'odem roitze leilech, shamalichin osof. I'll let them have it. You want to give it to them? That's right. They'll have it. They'll be able to conquer the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and incited their hearts of the Nebuchadnezzar to fight against Jewish people, little by little, so it's for us to take all the treasures of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, the Pasuk of it means that you have brought it upon yourself years ago when you invited them into the Beis HaKadosh HaKadoshim. Chavolim yuch zucha, you will be overcome with labor pangs. The most painful, this is a description, Chazal, he has over and over, the most painful form until kidney stones was known, Rachman al-Tzlan, but until that point in time, the most painful form of pain was considered labor pains. Today, with modern medicine, Rachman al-Tzlan, there's a lot worse, unfortunately. But that's what they say, at least. No one should ever know from that, but that's just what they say in the books. But chavolim, this word, it's a very frightening expression. Chavolim, yochzuch, you'll be overcome by labor pangs. Bebo ha'iv, yochzuch, oisach chavolim, u'michayvim, kamo ha'isha ha'karas, laledes, like a woman that bends down, laledes, to give birth. Rashi pasuk of Aleph. Mat haimu ki yifkoid HaKadosh Baruch Hu alayach. What are you going to say when HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now here's yifkoid. The Rashi is saying a little bit different. Rashi says that a little bit different is that the yifkoid means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will visit you. He will bring punishment. Nebuchadnezzar is just a tool, a pawn in the hands of Hashem to bring punishment. You have no one to blame but yourself. The at limadit, Rashi says, osom alayich alufim l'rosh, you have made them chiefs over your head by inviting them. She shalachtem alehem malachim lekastiyim lohavim yisham elilim shalachem laabdam kemosh nemar. So over here, love to serve them. Over here, Rashi has an entirely different interpretation. You, in the olden days, you went and invited the experts of idol worship to come into Eretz Yisrael to teach you how to worship idols. You imported idols. You went, and where did you get idols from? You could have gone to Mitzrayim, you could have gone to Aram, to Ammon and Moab, but you heard that the most exquisite idols are to be found in Bavel, by the Kastian. And you sent messengers, you sent money to purchase the best idols by the Kastian, and to bring back professionals to train Klal Yisrael how to worship these idols properly. And therefore, you have now no one who to blame but yourself when these people are going to come and going to destroy Yerushalayim. That is how Rashi learns. You made them your leaders, your chiefs, when you brought them into your country to teach you how to worship idols. Obviously, Rashi is saying something completely different than what the Mitzudah says, that we're now referring back to the mice of Chizkiyahu, when you invited him to come and enjoy the fragrance of the Beis Nechos, which refers to the Kodesh HaKodashim. It refers to a different event. And we're going to see in the Radak another interpretation of what this pasuk means. And where do we find this idea? We find this idea in Yecheskel. It's explicit. It says in the pasuk, "Vata vataneva alehem." You took delight, onik. You took great delight, alehem lemari einecha. You took delight in looking at these idols, vatishlach, and you sent malochim, messengers, to the kastim alehem. Aleihem kasdimot kastim, in order to teach you how to worship these idols. Now Rashi provides alternative interpretations of Racher. Limadet oisam olach alufim. It refers to this, what the Mesudo said. Chizkiyahu shehera l'shluchim udach baladan. It's called based nechosa, all of the fragrances, which refers to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in Sefer Yeshaya. Next, let's see the Radak. Pasuk of Aleph, Mat Harmuki Yifkoid Olaich, Yifkoid Ha'oyev Olaich. Notice that the Radak is learning not like Rashi. Rashi said that Yifkoid means HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's going to come and visit you to punish you. Through, of course, the Nebuchadnezzar. Here he says, Shulamikra, it means when the Nebuchadnezzar will come to visit you. Yifkoid Ha'oyev Olaich, Kol Mashi Yifkoid Olaich, Lihigo Elascha, when he'll come to exile you, Ulachadivcha, and to destroy you. Mat Harmuki Oz, what are you going to say then? The Yonasam Tirgim Arei Yisar Allah Chayvach, when your payment, when it will be visited, the payment with Son Eloimar Yifkoid Hakel. So the Radak very eloquently, he provides for us both interpretations, both of Rashi and the Mitzudos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to demand retribution for your sins, and he will visit you. Because according to the simple interpretation, I like the first interpretation, because that flows better into the next words at the end of the Pasuk. Shari Aimer, because the Pasuk includes the At and you, Limadit, Oisam, you have no one to live but yourself, you have accustomed them, Olaich, Alufim, Larosh, Omar, you have made them your chiefs. The Omar, Mat, Hamri, Kiyifkod, Olaich, Ha'oyev, what are you going to say when the enemy comes to visit you? If we want to make the end, the beginning of the Pasuk consistent with the end of the Pasuk, we have to say the word Yifkod refers to the enemy, not to Hashem. Ki At, Limadit, Oisam, Lihiyos, Alecho, Alufim, because you have appointed them, you have accustomed them to be your chiefs. The liyos l'chol l'rosh ki ochas sholach l'melech Ashur. Now we have a third interpretation of exactly when do we find them being when do we find the enemy being invited to Eretz Yisrael? It goes to the time of Ochas. Ochas is the son of Chizkiyahu, an entirely different event. He asked Nebuchadnezzar to be assistance against the civil war of the Malchei Yisrael. There was a civil war going on for 200 years, not every moment, but a good chunk of it, of that period of time, between the Malchei Yisrael and the Malchei Yehuda. A civil war in Klal Yisrael, and each side would solicit the support of the Goyim to defend them in this civil war. So Ochaz solicited the support of the Kastim to help him fight against the king of Yehudi, of Yisrael. What a chil Hashem. So Hashem says, you went and you called the Kastim into the land to help you, to be your mercenaries, to carry out the dirty work against your own brothers, against the Yehuda. As a punishment, I'll let these people come in and be the mercenaries against you, to conquer you and take over the lands and take over the Yehuda itself.
See, in Yeshaya, to answer that question, how would the Skiyo get back? How did he go into the Kodesh Kodosh?
Yeah.
So he brings down here the Yishal Mishkola, Rinas Yitzchak, that he showed him the Shivri Luchas, which were not in the Kodesh.
Not in the Kodesh Kodesh, outside the Kodesh Kodesh. Outside, okay. But we have Luchos, Veshivri Luchos, Munachos Ba'orin. So what do you mean it was outside? They took it out? Whatever, okay.
It was not in the Kodesh Kodesh.
Even showing him the Shivri Luchos is also shocking. You show over here, the Shivri Luchos is that. It's Masei Lekim Hema. Masei Lekim Hema. What does it mean? Well, these are all mysteries. All right, Elias Cholavosh Ki Ocha Sholach Lemelech Ashur Avdecha. Now here he's referring, now the problem over here is now referring over to the Kastim. Ochaz is the one who demanded assistance from the king of Ashur. Here Nebuchadnezzar is coming to attack, not the king of Ashur, but I guess they're all related. The enemy is the enemy. My enemy's enemy, well, no, it's, my enemy's enemy is my enemy. No, that's exactly the point. My enemy's enemy is my friend, that's what the world says. But the truth is, my Klal Yisrael, our enemy's enemy, unfortunately, is also our enemy. So, v'liyoyis l'chol l'rosh, ki ocha shalach l'melech ashul, avdecha, what were his, here's a quote of his words, avdecha, your servant, ubincha oni, I am your servant, I am your child, alei, ascend, v'hoshieni mikaf melech aram. Okay, that's not so bad. Help me from the king of Aram. Umikaf Melech Yisrael. and save me from my brother, from the king of Yisrael, ha'koyimim olai, which come up against me. Omar gam, Omar es at garam t'chosodifu, yirmi it says to Klal Yisrael, you have no one to blame but yourself. What's happening now is a punishment for inviting a foreign country into your land to fight against your own brothers. And that is, this the same thing happened, repeated itself in the Vayesheni. You would think that we learned from our mistakes. No such thing. At the towards the tail end of the Vayesheni, there was also a civil war between two different groups of who would be in charge, which two families. Aristobulus, I don't remember all the names. Two different brothers. The king died, and there was a war between two different factions in Klal Yisrael who would have authority. And what did they do? They said, "We'll have Rome. We'll call for the Caesar of Rome to send in some of his people, and they'll be the ones that will find a solution to this dispute." So they come. Of course, we'll come. They come. They set up shop. And before you turn around, who's in control? They're the Balabas. And that was the beginning of the end. So just like it would begin this, and you have a pasuk, they didn't learn from history? Obviously not. We never learn from history. We don't learn from history. They don't learn from history. No one learns from history. That's the story of the world. We don't learn from our own mistakes. Amar ad kodam lo sheyigluch aile v'yachrivucha ki at Hagalas osam alecha. You are the one who exiled them towards you. In other words, you brought them into the country. Ki rechoikim hayu me'artzecha. They were very, very far away from your land. Why did you invite them to come into Eretz Yisrael and give you advice? Umat ha'imri. Now, what are you going to say now? Kishayavola hacharivcha. This is a rhetorical question. What are you going to say now when they come to destroy you? Kikavar boli ha'yishiacha. What are you going to say when they come to destroy you, when you invited them to save you? In other words, you have no one to blame but yourself. You should not have been so comfortable with them to show them all the secrets in order to come and you should not have given them all the secrets. Haloi chavolim yochazucha. You'll now be overcome with birth pangs. Kishatiri zeh, when you see this, yachzu esa chavolim kumo eishas leida, ho'ish amedes leledes, v'zein yishapech, and this is going to happen upon you, kinemar ki tzirim v'chavolim yochazuch, birth pangs will overtake you. Yochazucha, haches b'chat of segel, it's yochazucha, it's a chat of segel. Leida, yitachin sho yashem, leida is a description. Kmo mi leidon mi beten v'ye eishas samuch gam efsha shiye leidas toyar kmo v'choyach v'ayin leida v'ye eishas mukeres kmo eishas sifas toyar. I'm not exactly sure what this means. Grammar, I don't know what he's saying, but it basically means these two words go together. A woman who is giving birth. I think what he alludes to is what it says here in the article. The article quotes Rashi and Chumash that tells us that in ancient times there was a custom, a very bizarre custom, where a man would have two wives. One wife would be sterilized, so she could not have she could have children, and the other wife would be the one that has children. So the wife that he would walk around with, the trophy wife, did not have children. The other wife that would produce children was locked up, and it did not matter what she looked like. She was just there to produce children. So here it says, "Kemo eishes leida." According to the Radak's grammar, I'm not exactly sure if it fits to the words, it means a woman who has been
designated
for Leda. So she's always in a state of pain. She's always in a state of birth pangs. The other woman, she's always at the beauty salon. She's not. So it's the Aishas Leda that is right in the time of Lemech. Lemech, it says it. So that's seemingly what he means over here. This is an expression called Aishas Leda. Alright, so we'll have to stop over here. There's more, there's a medrash. Okay, well, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll go back tomorrow. There's a medrash I wanted to tell you, I forgot. Yifkoit. We'll do that for tomorrow. We'll come back to this tomorrow.